When I was in high school, I used to wrestle. And before the match, I would get just nervous, butterflies. I mean, just like this, ready to go, ready to get after it, and then at the same time, ready to run out the back door. That's exactly how I feel when I start to preach. I sit there, ready to go, but nervous and ready to, if there was a way I could go out that back wall, I'd probably go. Turn to John chapter 6. Title of the message, I will not cast you out. I can go home on that. You know, just a word from the Lord is enough, isn't it? If He gives it to you, if the Lord gives it to you, just a word is enough. Just a word. Paul said to the Corinthians, I'd rather just have 5 words under the Spirit of God than 10,000. That doesn't really mean anything. He's talking about in an unknown tongue that nobody could understand, but which doesn't mean anything if you can't understand it. But this, I will not cast you out, means a whole lot to me. When I was a young boy, in those early years, I was brought up under hell, fire, brimstone type of preaching. When I became a teenager, and Dad, Mom quit making me go to church, I never went again. Church so called. I never went again. I didn't want to go. I didn't want anything to do with religion in any way, shape, or form. I didn't want it. But around the age of 19, somewhere in there, Vicki and I were dating. She was 17. Kids. Just children. There was a place I worked. Someone had read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. I read it. And I got absolutely scared to death of dying and going to hell. I mean, I got scared to death of it. I got up at nights and checked the doors to make sure they were locked. When everybody else went to bed and sleep, I got up and checked the doors. I was that fearful of it. That fearful. So I made a profession. I went to church and made a profession, baptized, took care of that problem, I thought. I took care of that problem, quieted my conscience, you know, fixed, I'm okay. Everything's all right. Until at the age of 23, when I heard my pastor, Henry Mahan, and then for the first time, I became afraid of God, not hell. Hell had nothing to do with it at that time. For the first time, I became afraid of God Almighty. I became afraid that He would not save me. Everybody had been telling me that the Lord, that Jesus wanted to save me if I'd let Him. You accept Him into your heart, He'll save you. The Romans Road, you know. And I heard the gospel. And I heard it in power. You know, Paul said to the Thessalonians that the word of God, that the gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. They became followers of God. They turned from their idols. They sent out the gospel. It came to them in power. And I can say when I heard the gospel, it came to me in power, and I became afraid that God would not save me. And for the first time, I realized I was in His hands. He's not in my hands. For the first time, I realized I'm standing before God who may not save me. He may leave me alone. And for the first time, I knew what it was to be afraid of God. Standing at a sovereign throne, standing there. And verse 37 is the verse we're going to give most of our attention to. Verse 37 is the verse God gave me that kept me going. Kept me from just falling into despair. All that the Father giveth me, this shall come to me. Here, and the latter part of this verse is the verse that just to this day, keeps me going. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a promise. Oh, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That kept me coming back to the throne of grace. And to this day, it keeps me coming back to the throne of grace. Now, the first thing we need to realize, and I think this is one of the first things that God makes a sinner realize, is that salvation always, always starts with God. It doesn't start with, well, this is what Jesus Christ did, now what are you going to do with it? No, what's God going to do with me? What is God going to do with me? I'm the guilty one. I'm the offender. You don't go to court, stand before the judge, and it's like, what are you going to do with the judge? I'm not going to do anything with the judge. What's the judge going to do with me? I'm the one who's broken the God's law on purpose. Against light, I knew better. How many things have you done in your life that you knew better? About everything. Pretty much everything. You know better. My dad said that growing up. Son, you know better than that. I did. But when you're lost, you're lost. Knowing better doesn't keep you from being what you are. It doesn't keep you from being what you are. Salvation always starts with God. All that the Father giveth me. This happened long before I came along. This happened long before any of us came along. This happened long before Adam came along. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me. Salvation always now starts with the Father. Go over and read. Let's do it. Over in Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the proper order of salvation. Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the proper order. Paul said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then you go on down, you have the work of the Son. It says here, let me go on reading. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. There's the work of the Son. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Then you go over to verse 13, we have the work of the Holy Spirit, in whom you also trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the process of it. That's the process of it. But it always starts with the Father. He's the beginning.
It starts with him and election, as I just read to you. He chose us. Christ said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Let's get this straight. Let's never confuse that, especially in a preaching. It is God who chose me. Does that ever make you stand in wonder and awe that God chose you? You know how many people perishing? You know how many people who are already in hell? No hope. It starts with the Father in election. It starts with the Father in grace. For by grace are you saved. He didn't choose me or choose you because we're some good people or smart people, or he just did. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. That's why. It starts with the Father's love. He says over there, and look over in 1 John. Over in 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4. Look in verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. We ought to love God. Ought we not to love God? But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, it starts with the Father in election, in grace, in love, in covenant. Boy, the older I get, the more I appreciate the covenant of grace. God will not break His own covenant. He won't do it. If He's made a covenant concerning me with Christ, I'll be saved. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'll be saved. And not only does salvation start with God, but notice here, we'll see effectual calling. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's going to happen. It'll happen. It's not, listen, there's no ifs. There's no condition. There's no condition put here at all. Do you read any condition? I don't read a condition at all. There's no adjectives describing. It just says, shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, my soul, how sure is salvation? How sure is our salvation in Jesus Christ? The Father chose me, loved me, gave me to His Son, and He says, you're coming. You're coming. You're coming. And here's a promise. And this is the promise that just has kept me going for nearly 40 years. And especially in those early years. And Him that cometh to me, I will. I'm giving you my will on this matter. I will in no wise, for no reason, ever, ever, ever cast you out. Never cast him out. And him, no description of the person. Doesn't say him that feels this or is that, or it just says cometh. And him that cometh. How free is that? And how wide open is that? Aren't you? I'm glad there's not a description that says, and him that's 6 foot tall or taller. Boy, I'd be doomed. I'd be doomed. Or him that's rich, or him that's intelligent, it just says him. It just says him, rich or poor. Doesn't matter. You know, the Lord said to the disciples one time, He said, how hardly, He offended a rich man, and He said, how hardly is it for those who are rich, for them that are rich, to enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, it's easier for a rich man to go through, or it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And you know what he did right after that? He saved a rich man. Zacchaeus. That's exactly what he did after he told them how hard it'd be for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, and then turned right around and saved the rich man. Because there's nothing too hard for our Lord. And he proved it. Told him how hard that would be, then said, now watch this. Saved a rich man. He that cometh to me. What qualifies us coming to Christ? I want to know that. I want to know that because I want to know that I have come to Christ. I don't want to be religious and lost. Because I was at one time. I don't want to just quiet up my conscience and just and get it all fixed up and then find out that I'm lost. It says in the book of Job, they were confounded because they had hoped. I thought I was saved. Lord, I preached in your name. Isn't that what I'm doing now? They said, we've cast out devils in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. And the Lord said, depart from me. He doesn't argue with them. He just says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't want that. My greatest concern, I can tell you right now, at 61 years of age, my greatest concern right now, it's not preaching, even though I have a greater desire to preach right now than I've ever had in my life. But my greatest desire right now is my relationship to Jesus Christ. Paul said, oh, that I might know Him. The power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrected life. I want to know the power of His life in me now. I want to be joined to that vine. I want to be united to Jesus Christ. I want that now. What qualifies me or us coming to Christ? Well, to come to Christ, and those of you who've come to Christ, you know this, it is to absolutely leave everything else. You leave a profession you made maybe years ago, you leave religion, you leave absolutely everything, and you turn to Him. You literally, really turn to Him. Absolutely. That's it. Sink or swim, I go to Him. I don't know about all my past and all that I just told you about. I don't know about all that. But I tell you what I know right now standing here. I need Jesus Christ. I need His righteousness. I need His blood. I need His cleansing. I need Him. Absolutely. It's to believe on Him. It's to trust Him. It's to rely on Him for all that you need to stand in God's presence. Leave every hope you ever had in your life but Him. That's it. They said, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils. I would want to say, Lord, did you not die for me? Did you not die for me? Did you not shed your blood for me? That's my only hope. That's my only hope. Christ.
Christ. One time, I'm going to end up being guilty of going too long. But one time, the Lord said to His, He gave His disciples power over unclean spirits. And they went out preaching. And they came back rejoicing. And they said, Lord, the unclean spirits were subject to us. And you know what the Lord said? Well, I told this to Todd and I were here not long ago. I said, if there's anything I can say to young preachers, this. Rejoice not that the unclean spirits are subject to you, but that your name is written in heaven. The least talented person in this room has every bit as much to rejoice in as I have. God can make a preacher out of anyone sitting in this room. I realize that. I realize that God can take any man at any time and make a preacher out of him. Here's what I rejoice in when I get up in the morning, go to bed at night, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. And then He says, cometh unto me. That means continually. Oh, I came to Christ 40 years ago. Well, what are you doing today? What are you doing today? I'm still coming. I come to Him today as if yesterday never existed. I come to Him today. I come to Him this morning. It is a continual coming to Him. I need Him more now than ever more. I realize more now of my sinfulness than ever before. There's just as much sin in me as there ever was. I feel a greater urgency to know Him now more than ever. And then listen, coming to Christ, we're coming to a living person. Well, how, and I want you to take this home with you. How real is Jesus Christ to you? You know, James said, don't say you're going to go to a city and do this or that, you know, going to do business tomorrow. He said, say, the Lord, if the Lord will. I get up in the morning, I'm going to go to work if the Lord will. If the Lord will. He, my Lord, I live under a theocracy. I live under the authority of a king. And I have His Word. If you want to know what the king has to say, read His Word. It's right here. He's given it to us. It's in your lap. The first time I came to religion to take care of a problem. Now I come to Him to save me from my sins. Now I come to Him to save him from John Chapman. Lord, save me from that guy. Whew. Save me from me. If not just save me for something I did, but save me from me, because I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I come to Him to save me from my sins, that I might have fellowship with God, not to try to keep from going to a place of torment, but to have fellowship with God. God, my Creator. Doesn't it amaze you? It amazes you that people go throughout their whole life and never acknowledge the One who created them. Isn't that amazing? You ought to go to hell. If I live like that, I ought to go to hell. I came to the living Lord.
Have you really come to Christ? Have I really come to Christ? Well, here's the promise. Here's the assurance. I will in no wise... I'm telling you, this is just like candy to me. I will in no wise cast out. As dumb as I am, as much as I stumble, like a bank mule, he said, I'll not cast you out. No wise. No reason. No way. No way will I cast you out. God, I have God's promise on this. Here's God's promise. I will not cast you out. I will for no reason cast him out that comes to me. No matter how black my past, no matter what it is, no matter the skeletons in my closet, no matter the present, Christ said, I'll not cast you out. David, don't you know better than to commit adultery? You're the king. It's wrong anyway, but it's even, you're the king. And God said you've given, or Nathan said to him, you've given the enemies occasion to blaspheme God's name now. Not only did you do that, you had her husband murdered. But God, but you're not going to die. God's put away your sin. God's put away your sin. I'll not cast you out. I chose you. I loved you. I gave you my son. Made a covenant with him over you. I will not cast you out. None of it relies on me. Aren't you glad? Can we not take God at His word? Can we not? I did. I don't know how many times and times since. I couldn't count them. I have said, Lord, You said, he that comes to me, I'll not cast him out. Lord, I come. Let's take God at His word. He cannot cast me out because He said He wouldn't. He said He wouldn't do it. There you go. That's what faith is. It's taking God at His word. Then He'll do exactly what He said He'd do. Quit thinking of God like you think of us. Of each other. I know He said that, but we'll see. God's not like that. That's not God. God cannot lie. And He's honored His word, it says, above His name. He'd be a bigger loser than me if he did. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. All of them. Let me wind this up. He shows us here in verse 38 through 40, the Father's will shall be fulfilled. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Earl, you had mentioned something about, and Henry had said some time ago, that it's hard to know the will of God sometimes. Well, right here it's not. It's very plain. It's very plain. And this is the Father's will. You see, I have the Father's will on this matter. That of all which He hath given me, I won't lose a one of them. Not a one of them. That's why He said that concerning Judas, He said that they were all His except for that one. Except for that one.
He's letting us know, no, that one is not mine. But you raise it up again at the last day. I have a hope. I have an expectation that when I die, they lay this body in the ground. I'll go to be with the Lord. And in time, this body's going to be raised out of that grave. It's going to be a new body. And I'm going to be with the Lord. In that new body, in that new heaven and earth, forever and ever and ever, because He promised it. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know, I guess it probably is a good thing that we really can't see the other side right now. We'd be dying to get out of here. Wouldn't we? We wouldn't be. We wouldn't. If they said I had terminal cancer, I'd be going, woo! I guarantee you I would. If you and I could see the other side, we'd look like a cheerleader going down. We'd be like David who danced before the Lord. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. This is the Father's will. This is His will. That of all which He's given me, I'll lose nothing. I'll raise up again the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Do you see Him? Do you see Him? He said in verse 36 to those Jews, I said to you that you also have seen me. They saw Him in the flesh. We know you. You're the carpenter's son. And you believe not. And down here it says, and this is the Father's will that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, do you see Him? Is He real to you? Is He that real to you? When you read His Word, you're not just reading the Word, but He's speaking to you. He that seeth the Son and believes on Him, which is one and the same. You see Him, you'll believe. I promise you. May have everlasting life, and I'll raise Him up at the last day. Oh, if you see the Son, then God's given you faith. And you're one of those who's been given to Christ. You're one of those who's been given a promise, I will not cast you out. I will not cast you out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the best news I can give you this morning. Now, isn't that a good message? That's a good message, even if I preached it. That's a good message. Okay, Mom.